So that's Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child, which was a number one. You know, it's again, these are the days when I remember, I don't know what it was, I think it was the Lulu show. He was on TV. You probably weren't watching TV.
No, we weren't.
TV had variety shows on every Saturday night, and you know, and it would be hosted by somebody like Cilla Black or Lulu or Tom Jones or something. And you'd have these guests on, like Jimi Hendrix.
Would just turn up on telly, yeah.
Janis Joplin.
That's right.
People like this.
The Who on Ready, Steady, Go.
That kind of thing. And it was like, yeah, it's like, you know, think of them as alternative.
Right.
And they thought of themselves as alternative. They were getting on the Lulu show and things like that.
That's right.
Yeah, which is a good thing about
that's
that period.
That's actually just one little story that I had a conversation with some 30-somethings in Spain recently who'd been brought up by a mother on Ibiza.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with all these stories which match perfectly the stories our children told about their upbringing, like taking the box of crumbly brown homemade bread to school and longing for white sandwiches like the other kids.
Yeah.
And the lentil soup that came out of the flask.
Because, I mean, Ibiza in... Well, we're going diverting here, but, I mean, I went to Ibiza in the 60s when it was the centre for all the hippies.
Well, that's when they were reared there. And the funny thing
very,
was...
Very, very different to what...
But the children
it became
have
all the house music
stories
stuff a lot later.
Of their traumas, of the bread that they had to take to school and their naked mothers when they took their friends home from school. And the only difference
A few more naked women in Ibiza, I imagine, than in the winter.
We haven't got onto that.
We haven't got onto the nudity.
The clothes, when the sun came out, the clothes didn't stay on
long. The clothes came off.
Oh,
the only difference was that they didn't have to endure camping in the rain, which our kids, that was their summer holiday. And the other thing was that they missed all the telly.
Yeah.
They couldn't, you know, they missed whole swathes.
I've no idea what went on the telly in the 70s.
They accuse us of cultural deprivation, you know, because they missed the whole sort of 5 years of television in the 70s.
So they didn't have that thing like every generation has
its
you work out how old people are by saying, who were the Blue Peter presenters when you were a kid?
I don't know.
They don't know. Your kids don't. Yeah. How deprived they must be. Yeah. This is one of those interesting things. I remember for a while when our kids were little, we thought, it's just commercials everywhere. In the run-up to Christmas, I just sort of retuned the TV. So if they wanted to watch it, they can only watch BBC One, not ITV.
Yeah.
And we had a much easier time in that run-up to Christmas from our kids than all our neighbours were having, because they were having things sort of thrown at them. You must have this Tracy
That's
Island
right.
or this other toy or this type of doll or whatever it happens to be. Yeah. And our kids... They didn't miss it.
Yeah.
My son, they'd get bought all sorts of plastic at Christmas, but really he was happiest sitting outside with his stones and making little patterns and, give him a pile of stones and he was fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I dread to ask this question, but, they've forgiven you?
He still remembers it fondly.
They love regaling it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they do.
Oh, right. Yeah, they'll take the piss out of us, of course.
Definitely. But that kind of relates to what we were talking about, Chris, about the spiritual side. Like, we've talked a bit about the political.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But actually, we were really genuinely into love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very tolerant community.
And seeking for an enlightenment,
and seeking
not just
for
politically
God.
And
we
socially.
We talked about God all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
The outside view is you must all be heathen atheists.
No, but we were like into meditation and yoga and Buddhism and... Yeah. You know,
well, it hit me when I first arrived because, as I've said earlier, I'd been a political activist and I probably burnt myself out a bit doing too much. And I needed to kind of chill out. And
So
when I met all these people, and one of the first things that happened to me is I got dragged along to this
yoga class.
So your sort of feelings at the time are, you know, there's a great big capitalist world out there. We've got to smash it and bring it to its knees.
Yeah.
And I need a rest first.
so tell us about meeting all these spiritual
all
yoga.
Well, as we, Patsy said, her and Julie dragged me along on a Thursday afternoon to the Adult Education Centre where Bob Lynn was teaching. And Bob Lynn was the most remarkable teacher. I mean, anyone that has been to his classes would remember the effect that it had on him. And it's difficult to put it into tangible. There wasn't a lot of physical exercise.
He talked.
And, I'd challenge him, what about the Vietnam War? and he'd have... all the answers.
He had an answer for everything.
And gradually, I didn't realise it, but it started affecting my whole outlook on life. And when I sub after a few years break, and I had a my long relationship with Elaine started, and I got her interested. She was, you know, from a similar political background, and I realized that for the last few years I'd been living my life according to his guidelines, almost unconsciously, and she was taken with him in a similar way. And so, I mean, yeah, if there were any other people from this time, they That's would right. all talk. I
They'd mean, remember it, Bob Lynn's yoga classes. It was all about, it was really, the key to life is relax.
Yeah.
Just give yourself a break, breathe deeply, relax, and feel the peace, really.
Yeah.
We were real hippy-dippies, we really were.
Well, it sounds to me like actually you were, Patsy, but you were learning how to be a hippie, Chris. You were coming in with your revolutionary fervour and, you know, not being a hippie until after you arrived.
I think I was. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I've been going to festivals and things. I mean, I had all the ingredients. But, no, I mean, on the spiritual side, I still had some resistance and... you know, opium being the religion, being the opium of the masses and all that. And yeah, it was people like Patsy that kind of got
the great
me into
thing
it.
About his teaching was, don't believe a word I say. Say that every week. Try it, test it. If it works for you,
right.
It's fine. If it so doesn't, throw it out.
None of this preaching type.
No, absolutely not.
And don't believe a word.
He had
try
a certain presence. So you were quite happy to listen to him talk for hours. And there are certain people like that, aren't there? That you come into their presence and, you know, somehow they hold your attention and they've got a presence.
It's great when you find a teacher like that, whether you're 12 and in school or whether you're sort of, in your 20s and in your local adult education
center. There was a group of sort of young hippies, and then there was a large group of older leaders from Hebden Bridge in their hats. And the two would never have met ever. And, you know, he was a great one for bringing people together and for creating a tolerant atmosphere. And I think he helped a lot in our acceptance, actually, in the area.
Oh, right. That's,
I think so.
Good old Bob Lynn.
That's right.
Yeah, sounds like... it's a name I've heard, living in Hebden Bridge only for the last 10 years
Well,
or so.
He taught people who are still teaching yoga in Hebden Bridge.
Right.
Julia Aykroyd learnt from Bob originally.
Oh, right.
And she's a very popular... well-respected yoga teacher in Hebden Bridge.
Oh, sounds excellent. So we're going to move on a little bit more music. I suppose, you know, the backdrop here is all sorts of things going on. I don't think we could get through this hour without a bit of Bob Dylan, could we, really?
Oh, yeah.
Moving on from the spiritual...
I'm knocking on heaven's door.